Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Bandwidth and Banter. What an honor and a treat to be here with my co-host, Druid IRL. Introduce yourself again, please, as always.
I'm Druid IRL, and I play Thera, who is a human fighter. I'm
Wrong
kidding. I'm
stream,
kidding.
that's tomorrow.
I'm the co-host of Bandwidth
The only role play we're doing today is tonight on Old Man Garrus's channel, doing the alien cosplay, and not cosplay, but TTRPG. I mean, I
Basic,
guess
same
I was
thing.
doing a cosplay last time.
You
I'll
are
probably
cosplaying, but.
do it tonight, yeah. He's also one of the folks who we've had on Bandwidth and Banter. Great, amazing guest. Such a treat and an honor. Man, speaking of treat and honor, Mr. Taco was on last week. God, what an amazing human being.
Yes.
Not only is he, a streamer 100% purely for Extra Life charity, he's also incredibly funny and talented and super spicy. Literally has his own taco sauce that you
Which
can
is
give to
great.
Extra Life to get. It's pretty amazing. So be sure to check out the his video on our YouTube
Dropped on
channel.
YouTube.
What was the big highlight from about the interview for you with Mr. Taco last week?
Everything?
I know you were gonna
No
say that.
one's gonna have a spot like that, Don't do that. Don't do that at all.
Seriously
You
though,
can't make me pick. You
no,
can't
you're
make me
right. It
pick.
was it was hilarious and it was amazing, and
Thank you.
he's just a sweet person, and so it was a treat. And speaking of sweet people and a treat, I'm so happy that you found, or he found you, or kind of both, the person that we have on tonight. He's just a warm, wonderful human being. You can tell the energy and the vibe that he has, the positivity he radiates when he's streaming. Today, let's have on our good friend Bite Size Mike. Hello. Come on in, Mr. Bite Size Mike. Join us.
Hello.
Sorry, I have to do the dance of my favorite thing.
Yes. Thanks again for joining us today, Bite Size Mike. Please tell the audience a little bit about yourself, reintroduce yourself, and tell us about your stream.
So my name is Bite Size Mike. I go by Bite or Mike or anything like that. I pretty much am a variety streamer. I'll play pretty much anything that suits me at the time, but ADHD brain, I go down rabbit holes for a little while. So I was stuck on ESO for a little while. Now I'm stuck on Minecraft for quite a bit. And I kind of just mix things together.
So I was pointing at her because you were talking about ADHD, the ADHD brain and going down rabbit holes. And so I was like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're a little. I was gonna say, Jeremy, I want to take a quick pause and say we're looking a little choppy.
Yeah, I see that.
So, can you just
Fortunately,
refresh?
it's. Can you do me a favor, Bite Size, and wave? It's.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
the he looks good behind, on backstage. So him and I are both really smooth backstage. So.
Where
If you
I
want
see you
to.
guys in backstage, you're freezing up in backstage for me too.
Oh, interesting. Because to me, I look really clear. Mike looks really clear.
Yeah,
So.
same for me. And then Stormy looks
Interesting.
good on stream. I
So let's
think.
all just refresh the page really quick. Yes, yeah, Stormy Cam is good. So. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm
So,
going
what if
to.
just to be on the safe size, Bite Size Mike, if you'll click on the stream together, window that you have open, go ahead and just hit the F5 key and refresh it. And I will do that too, just to be on the safe side.
We'll
Thanks,
edit
guys,
this
for your
out in
patience and
post.
understanding while we work out these technical difficulties. which have completely... Oh, there she is. She's back. Okay. She's back on... Oh, I need to push you again, I guess.
Yeah, you've got to push me.
Go on stream. There we go. Do not adjust your dials. Push him on stream now. Oh, he's I don't need to re-push him. Okay. No worries. I think we're back. Yep, we're back to good. Okay.
Smooth.
It was just a glitch. I mean, if we think about it, this is pretty impressive technology. So, you know, they're going to have some hiccups from time to time. Let's jump back into it. Please share a highlight of your stream that is important to you, sir.
A highlight that's important to me. I think probably the biggest highlight for me that was really important was the first time I'd ever done anything like this, and I had ever even thought of doing something like this, was my subathon I did for my affiliate anniversary back in January. It was really important to me because so many people had showed up and shown support, and even though it was an intense couple of days, it was a lot of fun. And everybody in the community really made it an awesome experience.
Wow.
It was so cool to watch.
Yes, I agree. I enjoyed watching it and seeing what you're all about. And that's when I knew that you'd be perfect to have on the show. And after the questions, guys, we'll be sharing links for our man here. And we appreciate you coming today to check out Bite-Size Mike. We're going to jump into the questions now. And Druid gets to start him off today. Green hair for the green lines.
Highlights.
Highlights, right.
A little backstage knowledge. Mine's highlighted green. Shocker. please share a boring fact about yourself.
A boring fact about myself. I've never had braces.
Okay. I mean, he's right. It's a boring fact and it's interesting. And she's all like, did you have braces, Druid?
I had braces for 2.5 years. I had to wear rubber bands and I had to sleep with headgear on.
So did Starkitty. You didn't have that in common with her. I think she had to do it for 3, though. So, Nice.
Yeah.
That's a nice choice. That's a way to fire Druid up.
I knew somebody would have worn it.
My husband. I am so sorry. I'm going to vent for a sec. My husband has perfect teeth. Never had braces. And I'm going to tell you right now, I just want to so he can suffer like I did, because his teeth are too nice.
Nice.
Sorry.
Mike, please tell us, how did you pick your Twitch name and what was the inspiration?
So this isn't my first Twitch name. This is my rebranded Twitch name. But this one, I really like this one a lot. I chose it because in my outside of Twitch life, I'm a software engineer. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to find something that would embody who I am as far as gaming and who I am in real life. So I went kind of down the computer rabbit hole and fell on Byte, or Byte Bit, something like that. And I thought it would be kind of funny to do bite size something. And so I was like, why not just do bite size Mike? Kind of embody my computer software engineer life, my gaming life. And it sounds kind of funny, play on words with the BYTE. And I really like it. I think it really suits me and my channel.
It's good.
I love it. I think that's perfect. In fact, I have a pair of pajamas that have little smiley faces. They're more than just smiley faces. I don't know what they are, but it also says bite me on it, but it's spelled BYTE. They're all over the pajamas, these little bite me's.
I actually made some merch that says bite me with the BYTE.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. I was an incidental fan before I ever met you.
Yeah.
So now every time you wear those, you're going to be like, oh, bite size Mike.
That's right. Forever and ever.
All right. What D&D class do you consider yourself to be in real life?
Oh, in real life. Mm-hmm. So different from what I actually play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You as a person.
I would probably have to go with wizard.
Ooh, I respect that. Why do you say that?
Because I, as wizards do with their spellbook, I love learning things. I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, neither of which I use anymore. And I have a certificate from a software engineering boot camp. So I attempted a PhD in chemistry that did not go well. So I love learning. If there's something to learn, I will learn it. So I think very wizard-like.
I think that really fits. And I've said on the channel before that I think in our world, since magic doesn't actually exist, real magic is technology. And so computer engineers, software engineers, they really are the wizards of our world. So,
yeah, perfect. That's very true.
Well, on this same topic, please tell us your recent DM experience, and are you using a homebrew or a module?
So everything that I've ever done for D&D is completely homebrew. I've never done anything from a module or anything. My most recent DM experience, I played with my IRL friends, and we actually just added a new player to the party. So we went from 3 to 4, and it was actually a really fun night. They got to get to my wife's library that she inherited from the Druids. And inside that library, they found, I did some arts and crafts and made actual physical little books that were bound in felt and had a leather strap wrapped around it that had like paragraphs written in it for their information that they needed for the rest of the quest.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Props are my favorite.
Fantastic. Well done. That's awesome.
I love that.
That is the perfect kind of thing to share as a fellow DM. You know, people who make maps, whether they're digital or actual physical maps, or use props or make props, make their own, you know, dice trays or their own dice like Never Tilted. I just really appreciate the when you add that extra flair, it really means something.
It's so good.
It does. Yeah. It makes the experience so much better.
I agree.
And as a player, I could just say we appreciate the effort so much. It's so fantastic.
Like here's a perfect example. This was from Druid and Fate's co-worker. He commissioned this to be made. It's basically familiar for Star Kitties campaign, or for our campaign, Star Kitties character from last campaign. So
that's awesome.
Anyway,
I love it perfect. So much.
Cute little prop. So I was about to do your question. Sorry, Druid.
Yes, you were. I was about to let you do it.
Go for it.
Please tell us about a favorite D&D character and or an NPC that you've created. You can do both. You can talk, like, share your favorites. I love this.
For this, is it okay if I grab something out of my closet real quick?
Sure.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Props.
He's a warhorn too.
Love it.
The thingy. It's the thing with the spike and morning star? No.
Yes. So a ball with spikes is a morning star.
Okay, cool. The chain, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, if it has a chain, then that's a flail.
Okay, it is a flail. It looks like it has a chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am just tempted to.
Oh, I wasn't seeing chat. I had it. I had it. Hi, vegan. Here he comes. Ooh, what do we got here? Looks like a little little box, a little treasure chest.
This is awesome. I gotta find the right prop. I have made so many. I gotta find the right one. This one? I think it's this one. Yes, here it is. Okay, so my favorite character, my favorite NPC that I have made, mm-hmm. he simply goes by Bob. But his true name that I have actually told my players on a couple of occasions is Honorary Sir Dr. Kesser Padril Edrin Nuvio Bratimvusk Tabutus Zadun Monshar Strickerth the Fourth Esquire. But he goes by Bob.
He's ridiculous! Druid loves him already, I know.
He is a human that is for unknown events to my players, 450 some odd years old. He can cast fireball. He can kill a rat with a teacup from across the room. And he will ramble about every single thing that you try to talk to him about and will never let you finish a thought. As soon as you mention something that he has done, which he has done pretty much everything in his past lives, he will just go down a rabbit hole, will not let you say anything, and will then subsequently halfway down that rabbit hole forget what he was saying and ask you what you were talking about.
Wonderful.
I love him.
My yep. players actually made him mayor of the town that they started in.
As they should.
Yes.
That's awesome. Thank you for
my
sharing.
My heart is like.
Yep. Thank you for sharing something so meaningful, dude. I appreciate it.
He's my favorite character. And it's really funny because I'm using the same world for my online group that I DM for. And they had the complete opposite reaction to my IRL friends. My IRL mm-hmm. friends love him. They made him mayor. My online friends, they were trying to like break into his bedroom. They tried to charm him, like complete opposite reaction.
Wow. Is that crazy. You stream that, right?
Yes, we've only done one session so far because some stuff has happened IRL, but I'm hoping next week we're going to be back to streaming it for session two.
Right. Beautiful. Cool. Fantastic, brother. So switching gears a little bit here, can you talk a little bit more about your rebranding? What prompted that and how's it going so far?
So what prompted the rebranding is I'd been streaming under my old name, which was The Chemist, which I had chosen that because I had a chemistry degree. I'd done some chemistry stuff in real life. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like a good fit. And I'd streamed under that for five and a half years, something like that.
Wow.
And I was unhappy with it in general for a couple of reasons, because I didn't start off the best way. I did what most people did, you know, 5 years ago on Twitch, was follow for follow, lurk for lurk, you know, all of those things to get affiliate. So I didn't really like that I had just so many followers from, you know, the follow stuff. And I ran into a point where I had some people that were in the community that I played games with, and a new person joined the community, and the couple of people that I was playing games with that were in the community already started being rude to that person. And that new person came to me and was like, "Hey, this is going on. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel accepted." And for me, community is my biggest thing. So whenever somebody comes to me and says somebody's making me feel uncomfortable, then I don't just immediately do anything. But if I feel the same way that they were being rude to that person or anything like that, in this case, it was very out of bounds for what should have happened.
Right.
So I immediately just banned, blocked them, removed them from the community, and then they proceeded to harass me with fake accounts and all kinds of stuff. So that kind of prompted me to just take a break for about 6 months. And then after that 6 months, I missed streaming. So I was like, I want to come back, but I want to do it different and I want to do it the right way. So I removed all of my followers from Twitch. I rebranded, came up with a new name, new artwork, and started to do things the way I wanted to do them the first time. Mm-hmm. And have been so much happier with how things have gone. I've gone from, I think, 48 followers to up to, I think I just hit 275. I think I just hit my follower goal of 275. Amazing community, amazing friends. I've got quite a few in the Discord that show up all the time. Did a subathon, all of that stuff. It's the rebrand was the best thing that I could have done for my channel.
Fantastic. Wise choice, and congrats on your successes and more to come.
Thank you.
Yes.
You bet.
Thank you.
So what drew you to Twitch ultimately though?
Oh man. I think really, I mean, the fact that I just love video games, I've always loved video games, and I love, as an ADHD person does, I love sharing things with people. So Twitch seemed like the perfect way to, well, streaming in general, and then Twitch specifically seemed like the best way for me to just share my love for video games, create a community where I can share what I'm passionate about, friends can share what they're passionate about, and we can all just have fun and play games together. That's really what drew me to it.
Nice. What did family and friends think when you told them you planned on streaming?
Friends, I have a very tight circle, so it's not very big. Friends were all pretty supportive. I actually have a couple of IRL friends that are mods for me.
Nice.
And then family, my family is very old school and they do not understand to this day why I stream, how I make money from streaming, why I play games so much. So I'm hoping one day that I can, you know, get to a point where I can show them like, hey, this is actually a very viable thing that people do. Mm-hmm. But it's very, my stepdad in particular is a very hard one to crack. He's very blue collar. You go out and work a manual labor job. Very much like that. So it's a little hard to get them to see that this is actually one, I'm having success on it already. And mm-hmm. two, that there's more success to come.
Yes,
that's right. Right. Yeah. Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Just wait. You'll get them.
Yeah. One day. One day I will.
Ultimate goal. Yes. Get him to see.
Yes.
What struggles did you deal with when you first started streaming?
So in addition to having ADHD, I'm also autistic. So a lot of social things I don't do well with. So hitting the go live button, even still to this day, scares me sometimes because I'm not great at social situations where I have to be like on for people, mm-hmm. and people that I don't know IRL. So like new people, random people that may find me. It's a little bit scary to put myself in that mindset of get on here, be social, be on for these people, you know, deal with anything that could happen from someone popping into chat, saying whatever they're going to say, having to have a conversation. That was really the hardest part at the beginning. I had all the tech stuff down. Games were fine. It was the how do I interact and how do I build a community and get people to come back? Because obviously I can, you know, I can get on and say hi to somebody, mm-hmm. but having a conversation and being entertaining enough to bring them back, that's what I really struggled with at the beginning.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, what tips can you share with future streamers?
Probably the biggest one is it sounds very basic, but for me, it's one of the things that helps me the most is just to do it. Mm-hmm. If you're scared to hit that go live button, Obviously do all the like behind the scenes work. Anybody can do that. There's guides out there on how to set up OBS, all of those things. There's guides on all that. But when you're looking at hitting that go live button, the easiest thing, the thing that helped me the most is just do it, to not think about it, to just hit it and not think about it. And then act like those people are just someone over for game night, someone over for, you know, holiday dinner, you know, just treat them, don't treat them like a new random person. Treat them as someone that's there to share your passion or share their passion for something. And one thing that's also helped me is when I'm working or just around the house, not streaming, I'll just talk to myself. Because when you do have those times where you may have people in chat or not, but they're just not talking, they're all lurking or something like that, you have to learn how to talk to yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to have a conversation with the computer. Mm-hmm. And that's a very big, that's a very big thing to learn how to do. That's probably my two biggest tips.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Those are beautiful. Good ones.
Absolutely beautiful. Especially the go live. You just got to do it. Just got to hit go live.
Yep.
I also struggle with hitting go live. So when I'm 2 minutes late, just know that 2 minutes, I'm sitting there looking at my hotkey. Like, I can do this. This is fine. Everything's great. ready to go. So beautiful. Love it. Love it. Love it. What do you enjoy most about streaming? What's your favorite?
I really think, like I said before, the community. I love being able to share my passion with people and having people to play games with and just enjoying life together with video games. That's why I started playing Minecraft. That's why I started playing Elder Scrolls Online. That's why I haven't done it so much lately, but that's why I do community night games. Because I really want to bring the community together, and just I love that my channel can be a place where everyone can just come and feel safe to share their passion, be who they want to be, and play games together. That's my favorite part about it, is just having this safe space for anybody and everybody.
That's awesome. I love it. That's perfect.
I love it. I can definitely say, as somebody who random popped in, like, everybody was so fun and so chill and very welcoming. Like, I think for me, what's really important about community like that is chat's also welcoming, and your chat is very welcoming. So
agreed.
Congratulations 100%. On curating that. That's difficult to do. And I think it's awesome that you've done it. So good job. Yep. Good job. Bite Size Mike community. We love you.
The wife helps a lot with that. So
shout out. And Just Grace, right? Shout out to Just Grace. We love her too.
She's the number one mod for the channel.
That's our partner. Say that again. Is that Blink Blinks?
No, Just Grace.
Oh, Just Grace. Just Grace. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Pivoting a little bit, but still on the same topic, sort of. How long have you been playing video games, and what was the first one you ever played?
The first one I ever played was, I actually just picked up a copy of it for the Nintendo 64. It's Hey You Pikachu. That is the very first one that I ever remember playing, with the little microphone on the Nintendo 64 controller, and you talk to Pikachu and he goes and does stuff. That's the very first one that I ever remember playing. I've been playing video games pretty much since then. In some capacity, whether I went from Nintendo 64 to PS1, I played a little bit of like Windows 95, Harry Potter on the disc. I had PlayStation 2 for the long, that was one of my longest consoles, then Xbox 360. And then after that, I went to Xbox One, I think, and then PC. And then I've been PC. I still have my other consoles, but I've pretty much exclusively play PC now.
Right on.
Yep.
Yep.
What is your favorite thing and your least favorite thing that you've streamed?
Oh, my favorite thing that I've streamed. It's been a while since I've done it, but my favorite thing that I've streamed will probably be The Last of Us games. That is one of my absolute favorite games, and being able to play that with my community there was just amazing. My least favorite thing is when one of my mods, who's also my boss at my IRL job, made me play Slender Man Arrival.
I am specifically triggered by Slender Man in general. I don't know what it is. Like, if anybody brings it up, and I'm like, oh, don't that. I don't know what it is.
I agree with that sentiment now. After playing it, it's awful.
Interesting. Wild. How have you shared and integrated the stream into your life with your significant other?
We do quite a bit on stream together. She's in my Discord. She's my, I think I have her role as community manager. Yeah. She's a moderator on stream. She has my stream pulled up every single night that I stream. To the tune of what I hate is 130,000 channel points. Not a fan of that, but she's always there. We play every game that we can play together. We pretty much do. So we played Elder Scrolls Online together. We would do like dungeons and all kinds of stuff like that on there. We play Minecraft together. When I do community nights, she's always the first one in there. And she's actually, we always joke that she's actually more the one that's liked on my stream than me. Every time she comes in to my office from her office and everybody sees her on stream, they're always like, hi Grace. And you know, just I'm not there. So she's really the favorite one of the stream when it really comes down to it. So she loves it and she's so supportive.
I love that so much.
Shout out to our significant others for taking care of us, right, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Do we actually know how many channel points Star Kitty has in your chat now, Stormy?
Over a million.
Wow.
Just it's wild. So shout out to our partners. Just that they're amazing. Yes. Okay, so what inspired the subathon? And I'm going to add to it, what was a highlight moment of your subathon?
Great.
Before you can answer that, I just want to say something that I loved was your wife Grace popping in and shooting you with
Nerf gun.
Speaking of Grace, I loved that so much. It was just, she was so excited. She's like, just saying.
Did someone clip that? I want to see that. I missed it.
I'm sure it lives somewhere.
So I just have to say that was adorable. And I thought that was fantastic. But what inspired the subathon? What was a highlight for you? And how did, and yeah.
So what inspired it was I rebranded and came back to streaming October of last year, and I did my subathon in January of this year. So when I came back to streaming with my rebrand, Grace and I both were very much like, you know, I told her, I was like, I'm coming back to streaming. I want to do it right this time. I want to take it very seriously. I want to do everything. Like, I set out my goals. I set out like exactly what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. And so because I was taking it more serious, I had talked to her about, with my affiliate anniversary coming up in January, I was like, I want to do something cool for that. And I was like, I think it could be cool to do a subathon, because I'm starting to take this more serious. It could bring some new people to the channel because subathons are a big thing on Twitch. So more people could find the channel, have a good time. And I'd never done it. It was a new experience that I wanted to try at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So I set it all up. I got my moderators there, and The thing that I enjoyed most about it, there's actually two things. One that no one really saw happen. I talked about it, but no one really saw it. My boss and moderator actually sponsored my subathon by paying for all the prizes for top three gifters and top cheerer for the channel. He gave me money for all of those prizes. So I was able to actually reward people for support that they gave.
Yeah.
And then amazing. My favorite thing that happened that people actually saw, it's a little bit like, I don't know if everyone will get it, but it was really my favorite thing is there was one, the second day that I woke up, I was having trouble waking up that morning. So Grace actually came in and she got in my chair and got on my stream and was like interacting with chat and like keeping the thing going while I was still like waking up. It made me feel really warm inside because it showed me how much she really loves and supports me and the stream.
Aww. So cute. I love that so much.
That is adorable.
I am a big fan of Grace now. Just uh-huh. saying. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Grace. Get me some Grace merch. Just saying.
Yep. She actually did stream at one point.
You know what you need? You need merch that says, I'm here for just Grace.
I'm probably going to go make that now. I'm probably okay. going to make that and put it on my store.
Do it.
That's so cute.
Don't even tell her. Just be like, don't even tell her. You can have, you are welcome to have, like, just be like, I thought of it on Band with the Banter. Like, you can say that. That's fine.
Yep. Yep.
It's just take it.
It's all you.
And then I'll buy it as soon as it goes live.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
This is awesome. Another switching gears, something I'm curious about. Can you name one of your favorite books and a book you're currently reading?
Yes. One of my favorite books. One of my favorite. I would probably have to go. Is it okay if it's a series?
Absolutely. Sure. Ben.
It's a series. It's actually a two-part series. They're different names, but one's a series and one's a sequel series. It's called Fablehaven and Dragon Watch. It's more young adult. I read, I think, the first one back in like high school. But it is 10 books total between the two series and one of my absolute favorite, all about like fantasy creatures, mythological creatures, like all about that stuff. And then a book I'm currently reading is called Dead Man in a Ditch. I'm actually almost done with that one. And I don't know how it's going to end. I'm very, very confused at the point I'm currently at.
Is it like a murder mystery kind of thing or sci-fi? What genre?
All of the above.
Wow.
It's got like the like mythological, magical fantasy, but it's also got like human industrial. It's got a murder mystery that happens inside of it, a couple murder mysteries inside of it. It's got like all of the things wrapped up in one.
Ooh. I do like a good murder mystery, just saying.
Very cool.
It's a really good one.
Interesting. All right. Sorry, my heart's still really racing over Just Grace. I'm having a hard time calming down, but I get this one. What was your favorite and your least favorite cosplay dress up that you've done on stream? Mr. Sometimes Wears Pink Wigs that I see on
stream. My least favorite would probably I'm not a huge fan of some of my onesies that I have. I don't remember which one exactly, but one of my onesies, it's way too hot. So because I've got two computers in my office and four monitors that always run when I stream and a key light that's really hot, like it gets really hot in my office. and our air conditioning won't run because our little thermostat is right outside my door. So all the heat that's coming out of my door keeps telling it that it's actually no, that would it should run then. I don't know why it doesn't run. But it gets really hot in here. So I don't like my onesies. My favorite one probably is it's actually broken right now. I broke the zipper on the back. It was a like Oktoberfest beer garden waitress outfit. And it was just a little bit too small. So when Grace tried to zip it up the second time I put it on, it busted the zipper. And I still had to wear it because I had promised chat that I would wear it. So we had to just safety pin it closed on the back. That's probably my favorite one.
That's crazy and hilarious. Yeah. My
Stormy did a maid cosplay and made pancakes for us on chat once, and I still have to send it to Joltzer, and I'm sorry I have it yet. So my secretary needs to remind me to send Joltzer the maid, the Stormy maid cosplay.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. On YouTube.
Die and everything. Just
Oh man.
Oh, I'm so happy I got this next question. This is fun. All right. Mike, please share with us, sir. Are you a turtle?
I gotta remember the answer to this. Been a while. You bet your sweet ass I am.
There you go.
It's been a while.
Please tell us what that's about. Share with us, regale with us that tale of you being a turtle.
It's been a few years since I actually became a turtle. And I haven't actually talked to any of those people since. It was when my wife and I were living north of where we live now, and we were working jobs that we hated. We'd found this group of people that we were hanging out with and playing board games. And I don't even know how it came up, but one of them, I think a couple of the people we were hanging out with started talking about some sort of like little membership card or something. I kind of just like interjected myself in the conversation. And that's, it was really, they were just like, do you want to join? And I was like, okay. And it just seemed like a really funny, just like way to have fun with people and just, you know, have this little, like, it doesn't mean much, but like just have this fun little insider group with people. Mm-hmm. Where you can just, you know, hey, you know, are you, you know, and it's just kind of a cool, like, secret little group.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute.
I love that so much. Whoever, I cannot pronounce the guy's name or the person's name that I reached out to. He was like, please ask him this because I've been trying to get him to mess it up. I was like, absolutely. I sent a screenshot of it to Stormy and I'm like, yeah. This is the best. I love this so much. Oh man, so good.
So we're moving into our last three kind of crazy fun questions for the regular interview, and then after that we'll open up the floor. We kind of always ask variations of these. This one not. This one's always the same. But please, Mike, tell us, what is the weirdest sleeping dream you have ever had?
Weirdest? I don't remember a whole lot of them, but I do remember one very recently that really threw me for a loop. I don't know why I dreamt this. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what subconscious thing was going on, but I had a dream that I was hiking somewhere. And it was winter time, but everything that I was hiking on was broken. And so, but it wasn't broken at the beginning of it. Like, I hiked up perfectly fine, like all this stuff, climbed up this like mountain, like just like cliff face. And then got to this little, it was like a village at the top where you could like shop and stuff like that. And then for some reason I was hiking it again in that same dream and everything was broken. And then I got to like the last like five rungs of the ladder and it detached from the cliff face. And I tried to like climb up the rest of it and then jump towards it. And then I woke up at that point.
That is falling and can't do that.
Yeah.
That is scare me already.
Yeah. Wow. I have a fear of heights. So it was an awful dream. And I have no clue why I ever dreamt that. Like never gone hiking in the wintertime, never been to a mountain. Like
dreams like... be dreaming. They like, it's amazing the things that you experience in dreams, even though you've never experienced them in real life. It's wild.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna let Druid get the last two questions because I goofed up and went out of order.
It's highlighted green. I'm green.
I'm sorry. So, hey, you get the last two questions in a row. I'll just sit here and listen.
I have the giggle so bad. I don't know if anybody can tell. Like, they're just bubbling, like waiting.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
If you could be any superhero, which one would you choose and why?
That's a hard one for me because if you can't tell, if you can't tell, I'm not a super huge fan of superheroes. But if I had to pick a superhero, I would probably go with Iron Man.
Ooh. I like that.
Why?
I like that.
Yeah. What's that?
Why? Why Iron Man?
I wish that I could be, obviously not real life, but I wish that I could be like that. Like, I already work with computers. I like coding software. So it's just kind of like it would be super cool to be that smart with technology and to be able to do things like that. So it's just kind of a dream of mine to be super smart with technology like that.
Oh, I think it's cool that he's like, I don't have magic powers except my mind and I could build it. I think that's cool. I think that's why I am like Iron Man's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
All right, I still get the last question.
Yep.
So the thing with the last question though, is this is a either or. If you pick one, the other one no longer exists.
Okay.
Pizza or tacos?
I'm going to go tacos because I've had more good tacos than I've had good pizza.
Valid.
Interesting.
So valid.
Nice. Wow.
Absolutely. Tacos on pizza?
Tacos on pizza.
That is a valid point, though.
Yeah,
that is a valid point, though.
If you fold pizza over, is it a taco at that point?
No.
But you could make a pizza taco though. You could have a tortilla and put all the pizza stuff inside, and then you'd still have pizza.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
All right, folks, this is the part where we're going to move into the open forum Q&A. If you have questions for our good friend Bite Size Mike, please ask them in chat now. Before that, though, please, Druid has shared his Twitch link. Go over and show your support of this amazing streamer. We need to lift him up and help him to his success. Give him follows and all the biddies and subs that you can. We appreciate you. So we're going to jump into open forum questions. Druid, yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask that question that's in chat?
Oh, okay.
It's a coffee question. What's your favorite coffee? I have to ask the coffee question.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite coffee? How favorite do you take your coffee? I'm going to ask all the coffee questions now.
So favorite coffee is Death Wish coffee.
Yes. So good.
I take it with a little bit of cream and sugar. When I drink coffee, I'm more of a tea person, but when I do drink coffee, it's Death Wish with a little bit of cream and sugar.
Love it. I'm a barista for context for those of you that don't know.
I was actually a barista for my very first job ever.
Nice.
I just left corporate coffee for small town coffee. So very, I'm very nice. Excited.
And I can tell you, she's just in this short time, she's already much happier.
Support local. Just saying. Mm-hmm.
Support local. Yes.
All right. I like this next question. The D&D question from Jolter, one of our dear friends of Stormkeep. It's a 5e D&D related question. What are your thoughts on drinking potions as a bonus action instead of an action?
So I am a very... I started on D&D 3.5, which is,
one of my favorites.
In my opinion, one of the most strict with rules.
Yeah.
And so I'm a very big stickler for if you're drinking a potion, it is an action.
Fair enough.
I have thought about, I've seen a homebrew rule that someone talked about where they will let you drink a potion as a bonus action, but you get half the benefit from it because you're doing it quickly. And I've thought about implementing that, but I'm a very big stickler for potion is a full act or is an action on your turn.
Gotcha. Right on. Cool. Yeah. I too have been in D&D for a long time. I started with the original BX set in 1981. And so I've played through all the editions. I have come around to where I like 5th ed and 3.5 equally now. It used to be that I liked 3.5 the most just because of the granularity of it and the scalability of it and the incredible amount of detail that's already exists in it. But there's a lot about 5th ed that simplifies things and streamlines things and helps you get into the fun of the role play and the combat in a way that's like, wow, they really did a good job with 5e. And we don't talk about 4e that didn't actually exist in this universe.
Yeah, what 4e? Don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. See, he knows what I'm talking about.
I heard only bad things. I have only ever played 5e. I'm a very new D&D player, TTRPG-er, very new. Stormy was my first official DM. So.
That's awesome. We love new players, though.
Yes. Yes, we do. The bestest. In fact, we're honored that this year we have BT as a new player for his first time playing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So I love that we're on D&D topics because, you know,
That we're just like, we're going to talk about streaming and all of this stuff, but we all know by the end of it, we're just going to be discussing D&D. I think all of us just kind of know by the end of it. We have two DMs here right now. So if anybody is a DM and needs DM ideas or have questions, now is the time. We have two DMs here. I will host while we ask the DMs questions.
Perfect.
I'm kidding.
I'm fine with that. No, I actually have a question for you. When you first started transitioning to 3.5 and 5e, what were your thoughts initially when you first started getting into it?
So when I first started playing, I started with 3.5. When I first started playing it, I started out DMing. I didn't start out as a player. I didn't actually become a player. And for the first time until, a 4 or 5 years after the fact, I started out DMing. And 3.5 was like my bread and butter. Like, it was so good. I saw the next edition come out and I was like, no thanks. And then when 5e came out, for the longest time, I was very hard stuck. I was like, 3.5 is the only one I'll play. And then I played as a player in 5e in a 5e campaign, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of nice. I'd looked through the material, the books and stuff, and I was like, this is actually kind of nice. So that's what I then transitioned to that because I lost my 3.5 books. So I had to try to refind them, and they are not cheap.
Yeah.
So I'm now playing 5th edition.
Right on, right on. Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, that's the way it goes sometimes. I have a similar story, but going back further, like I had all of the original Advanced Dungeons and Dragons books, like the really rare Fiend Folio, Deities and Demigods, you know, those really old, you know, pre-second edition, technically AD&D game books, had the complete set. And I had lent them to a friend for a while because I had my work life and stuff, I wasn't able to play, but their group still played. And sadly, he had a fire and they burned up in a fire. So I actually stopped playing for a while, for most of second edition, actually. I still played in some second edition and DM'd as well, but not a lot, not nearly as much. And then got back into it once, actually before 3.5, when it was third edition. And then, you know, they've really tweaked it with 3.5. And yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Vegan Unu asks, what's your all-time favorite spell in D&D? I'm going to ask Bite Size Mike first, and then I'll ask Stormy.
I want to hear Druid's answer, too, after we answer. That's a good question.
It is a good question. I feel like I'm a big fan of... Oh, I don't remember the name of it. Oh, no. I know it's a first or second level spell. I gotta figure this out real quick. I know it's a first or second level spell. I know one of my players has used it. Oh, can we not sort by spell name? Well, that's great.
Is it fifth edition?
I mean, it's a hard question because there's so many in stuff. I totally get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard question. I know what it does. It's where you can you hurl insults at someone and
Vicious Mockery,
yes, thank you. Vicious Mockery.
I was trying to get Stormy to just let me have Vicious Mockery as my druid because I would just say some heinous shit. And I'm like, I feel like that should just do damage. But.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be my favorite spell.
At the end of the day, my husband would turn at me and just be like, are you sure you're not a bard? Because my God, like, I cannot believe you said that. And I'm like, I can't believe I said it either.
It was awesome.
Also, speaking of classes, druid, Grace also plays a druid.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So you need to make sure you message me when you launch your I'm Just Here for Grace shirt.
Yeah.
I think my favorite spell in D&D is actually Grease. Because it's a lot more versatile and there's a lot of creative things you can do with it that most people don't think of, at least in 3.5. Fifth Ed, they might have dumbed it down some, but in 3.5 Grease, I mean, if you got monsters charging down the hill at you, you know, throw Grease. It's going to be bad for them. You got an enemy who's whacking you super hard with his sword. You know, Grease his sword. He's going to drop it. you need to set those goblins on fire. Well, throw some grease down and have someone drop a torch. You know, there's just a lot of interesting things. There was one time, as a DM, one of my hard encounter, it wasn't a boss encounter, but it was meant to be sort of a really tough encounter. And my players just cruised through that guy like he was nothing because they cleverly laid a grease down in this hallway and then came out from all these doors and started pounding on him every time he fell down. And I just kept rolling that he kept falling back down again. It was epic. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Grease is my favorite. Druid?
I have to say there's two spells only because and they're only by experiences. One of them was Call Lightning because that was my signature move with Call Lightning, and a lot of funny stuff happened because of Call Lightning last campaign. One of which was the T-Rex in the mouth.
You mean Fade's character in the T-Rex's mouth?
When Morcris was in the T-Rex's mouth, and I still Call Lightning on the T-Rex. That was a funny, you know, but mine's all by experience. My other one was Feeble Minds. That whole moment with the Feeble Minds.
I forgot what you wrecked with the Feeble Mind.
Shiny Shoes.
Oh, it was Shiny Shoes you wrecked with Feeble Mind? No. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was his final form. Yeah, that's right.
Because Fate did his Hand of Fate thing, and that's how he ended up being dumbed down by the end of it, and it was magical. And it was just one of those moments, and I was just like, I was just banking on using it. I always wanted to use it, and it just felt so good to just be like, you're still stupid. Mm-hmm. And it just felt so powerful. And I will say that is my favorite forever and ever is Feeble Minds. And if I could ever take Feeble Mind to make people stupid, I will do it because I can. And it makes me happy because of Shiny Shoes.
That's awesome. Oh, that is
awesome.
Vegan Nunu asks, do you collect the D&D books as well? And what's your favorite one?
I was collecting them. It got to a point where we didn't really have a good place to store them. So I still have my 3.5 books. But we actually sold my fifth edition books to a guy that runs a museum for like toys and books and stuff. So my fifth edition books are actually in a museum.
Sweet, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I would have to say my 3.5 edition Dungeon Master's Guide is probably my favorite one. I think the DM tools in there are just like three steps above any other Dungeon Master's Guide that I've read.
Nice. Can I share? I'm going to share, since you were sharing props, I'm going to share a couple of my favorites. From 3.5, I was lucky enough to get one of these leather-bound players' handbooks.
Ooh,
these are really rare. When they came out, they're like $100. I don't know what they're worth nowadays, if they're worth anything at all, but it's pretty cool. You know, they got the gold filigree and everything.
That's really nice.
That's pretty cool. And then apparently there's a fifth edition book. I'm gonna grab this real quick. That's worth a ridiculous amount of money that I had no idea. It's this collector's edition version of the Volo's Guide to Monsters. If that's any of really you have cool this, make sure you put it somewhere protected. This thing is worth over $500. So keep that in mind.
Wow.
When I bought it, it wasn't $500. It was whatever's on here, $80, I think, or something. So no, $50.
Damn.
So yeah, it's
wow.
God damn. Oh. Wow.
Crazy.
I think you got the next question, Druid. I think it's a Spud question.
Yeah. Spud Solutions asks, what are some of your most memorable characters that you've seen why can't I read the sentence? What are some of, hold on, let me try this again. I know the sentence is written well, but my brain's just like, we're not gonna comprehend. What are some of the most memorable characters you've seen as in your experience as being a DM? Like your player characters. What are some of them?
So player characters, my current session is my longest running session, and it's the one I remember the most about. And I've got to say my favorite one so far, sorry to the wife, but it would be our friend who's playing a plasmoid warlock.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's very how do I put his character? He's very fluid and open. He has taken many bartenders back home with him. He has a familiar that is a kind of, it's basically the stats of a pseudo dragon, but it's made from the same material he is. So when he needs to use a pseudo dragon, it just like comes out of his shoulder and like forms into a dragon and goes and does things. He eats by just sticking his finger into food, because as a plasmoid, all food is like just absorbed. They can form their face to like look human, but they don't have like a mouth or things like that. So he just eats by like sticking his hand in soup, or like sticking his finger in a glass of wine. And he'll just like, he'll constantly be asking like, is there any food that's white so I can go back to being white? Because he'll be like red from the wine, or, you know, orange from some cheese or something like that. And he's like, is there anything white? So we have a running joke that most of the taverns they visit have cream of ham soup for him that is white.
Wow.
Oh,
that's awesome.
And he's also, shout out to the wife also. Another reason I like him is because him and my wife are currently mushroom dealers in our campaign.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so funny.
She's a druid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's her subclass that she's playing?
She's Circle of Wildfire.
Neato. So I'm glad I get this next question, but before I do, what was the question? Because I wanted to share as well. Oh, the question was memorable characters.
Favorite player.
Yeah,
favorite character.
So memorable characters, I'm assuming he meant from the players. I mean, don't tell her I said this. She's going to get a big swelled head. It's kind of a tie between Vern and Shay, to be honest with you. I've been DMing a long time, and I've seen some amazing characters and some amazing role plays of those characters. But like Fern is epic, and her personality is just infectious, and the same can be said for Shay. I will say that as a good second place is I really am a big fan of Fate's new kind of creative, artistic, martial artist spellcaster. It's just that's such an awesome concept to me that I'm just having fun with it, and I can't wait to see what he does with it.
I'm very happy that Shay and Fern will never actually meet, because nothing would happen. Because Shay and Fern would just be like, we're going to go do something super cute over here, guys. And I would just drag Shay. She would have no choice, because Fern would just be like, no. We're going to go do this thing, and we're going to go play with your cat dragon, okay? And that would just be it. And you will never see them again. We're not going on an adventure.
Milo.
Cat dragon.
Milo is his name, though. You're right.
But you know what?
He's technically a lion drake, but okay.
Anyway. Cat dragon.
Yes, cat dragon. Exactly.
Cat dragon.
A purple one,
it's
too.
It's cat dragon. It's very
all right,
cute.
Real quick. Extirpate asked a question for both of us. And I know the way he snuck this in there is like, he's really fishing for information from me for tomorrow or the future. I love it. You're such a sneaky bastard, Fate. I adore you. All right. But I'm going to have our guest, Mike, answer it first. The question is, how much movement would you allow if someone were to intentionally use grease to slide at the end of running your full movement?
So
when you say running...
Hold on.
You gotta
pick apart this question. I'm gonna tell you, he's probably like full sprint slide epic. Think of like
no, I get the idea. I get the concept. The problem is that you can't cast a spell while running, because that's a double move action. That's a dash action, right? Unless you're multi-classed into rogue, and you had the dash action as a bonus.
I think. What he is trying to say is it would just be that 30 feet of initial movement, not the dash action. So it would be that 30 feet. I'm assuming, husband. It would be that 30 feet of movement. And so he would, I'm assuming it would be cast grease at the end of the 30 feet and then run and then do epic slide at the end is what I am assuming what he's trying to get the answer.
Would you like me to answer my thing first, or did you want to go first, Mike?
I can go first. I was just looking up the spell to make sure. So because it's a 10-foot square of grease, my thought was I would go the 10 feet and then maybe an extra 10 feet, because once you get off of the 10 foot of grease, obviously you would still have grease on you, but that mixed with whatever terrain you're on, if it's dirt, if it's mud, if it's grass, that grease is going to wash off pretty quick. So my thinking is you'd be able to make it that 10 feet where there is grease, and then maybe another 10 feet.
Interesting. I would probably be the poo-poo DM on this one, just because if you think about the way that the spell works, it's magical grease, not actual grease, right? And so sliding 10 feet when it's a greasy area, and then it's not, since it's a magical grease, I would have to really think about this, because the idea is that if you're outside of the grease, you're not slipping and sliding anymore. You think about the way the spell works. As soon as you step out of that 10-foot square, you can walk around normally. It's not slow movement. You don't have to worry about slipping and falling. If that's the case, based upon the mechanics, then you should slide the 10 feet, hit that spot where there's no grease, and kind of flop over forward. But that doesn't sound as much fun. So I would probably, just for the sake of funness, probably add an extra 5 feet. And then at that point, any kind of grease that's on you has completely worn off.
Similar thoughts there.
Yeah, we had the similar idea for sure.
So the answer is maybe, husband, if you can make the next check. I argue that it's more fun to fall flat on his face. Like, we all want him to just go at the end.
Oh no, for sure. I would be tempted to have that happen. I'd be tempted to say, hey, you need to just try it and we'll see what happens.
See, I took it as a different way. I didn't take it as like sliding, standing up. I took it as like they're like slip and sliding it.
Oh, on their grease. Oh, like they slip and slide it either like this or laying down on their butt. Oh.
Yeah, so that's why I gave the extra 10 feet past the grease, because I figured there'd still be a good amount of grease. Like if you slip and slided it, then there'd be a good amount of grease. So you could potentially make it a little bit long.
I can see that argument. Yeah. I can see that argument. Yeah.
Oh, it all depends on how you describe the slide.
Yeah, I think it does. I don't know if Merrick would ever slip and slide it, because he's too vain. It would be a...
Yeah, he's too arrogant.
It would be like, no way I'm going to do it that way.
He'd want to do it like surfer style.
Yeah, exactly. Because Merrick's just like... not my clothes. Yeah. But what if... Okay, Pelican is just like, let me just start typing real quick. You cast catapult...
Pelican said, because a rule of cool allowed. Yes. And that's the thing. That's the thing, guys. All you folks out there, if you have a DM that understands that fun and enjoying yourself and it's a collaborative experience, that's what matters most. It's not us versus the DM or the DM versus us. Yes, you're taking on the challenges that he puts before you. But like most DMs, the good ones, they really just want you to have fun, and they want to have fun with you and experience the comedy and the drama all together. So it's okay. The rules are guidelines. They're there just to facilitate the fun, not the other way around. And it's okay to bend them if you want to.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot. I don't know if you can tell, Mike, but... a lot of people in this chat really like D&D.
Oh, I can tell. I'm a huge fan of it as well. I've been a huge fan of Frog. I have a sword on the ground beside me.
Nice.
I have two swords. Look at us, behind we're both me. Yeah.
You guys have real ones. I have foam rubber ones, but mine's a Conan sword, and I got a Witcher one up there.
Yeah, mine's real. It's a Damascus steel sword that I just bought for Ren Faris.
Nice.
My husband literally yesterday was like, we need to plan a trip to go to a Ren Fair. We need to make sure that we like take some time to do that. And I'm just like, yes.
Ooh,
because he's so excited.
when we come visit you guys or vice versa, we need to arrange it so that we can do it at the same fucking time. That needs to be
there's a really good one in Texas, down near Houston. It's the Texas Renaissance Festival. It's like 80 acres.
Star Kitty and I have been a couple of times. It's pretty epic. There's actually one that's even closer. But it's on the way to Houston. Or maybe that's the one I don't know. We've been to both. There's a really big one and there's a medium big one. And I've been to some ones as well that are really fun too. But
yeah, there's three that I know of in Texas. There's the Texas Ren Fest. There's Sherwood Forest Fair.
That's closer to us on the way to Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't as big of a fan as that one. The one that I like that's like second place for me after Texas Ren Fest is Scarborough in Waxahachie.
Oh, I've heard about that one. I've always wanted to go. Yeah,
it's a pretty good one. Opening weekend is tomorrow.
No way, that's awesome. I love that they named it after after one of my favorite songs from that era, Scarborough Fair. It's such a great song.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. The way I think about it is Texas Ren Fest is where you go if you want to shop at a Ren Fest. Scarborough is where you go if you want shows at a Ren Fest.
Oh, okay, right on. Yeah, the Houston one, the one you were talking about seemed very. When we went, we liked it. We liked its size, but there were so many people. It felt more like a theme park, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. There was definitely lots of shopping for sure.
Yes.
Every woman needs a sword.
True.
Just saying.
That's kind of an innuendo there, dude.
I'm the one that typed it.
It's true.
Okay. I was going to say something, but I forgot. I'm going to read this question though. Mm-hmm. My husband asks, if you could revisit any campaign setting that you have made or played in, what would it be?
So for me, that's easy because I have used the same homebrew world for every campaign that I've run.
Absolutely.
But it's my favorite one to run in. They've not made it out of, no one's made it out of the starting country. So there's five countries in the world and no one's made it out of the starting country. My current IRL group is working on it, but they are not there yet. And then that's the world that has Bob in it. So that's always going to be my favorite. Wherever Bob is going to be my favorite one.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
Can you read Bob's full name one more time?
Yes.
Because I really want to make sure my husband hears it at least once. Listen to this, husband. Listen to this.
So he goes by Bob, but his name is Honorary Sir Dr. Kesser Padril Edrin Nuvio Bratimvusk Tabutus Zadun Monshar Trekirth the Fourth Esquire.
I think it would get the Esquire is like the cherry on top.
It is. it's definitely the cherry on top.
Yeah, and this was one of my favorite notes that I wrote my players. It's got his full like title at the top, and then it just says help, and then the person signed it at the very bottom.
Oh, that's awesome. I want to answer Fate's question briefly as a sort of a shameless plug, but if you want to see me revisit my favorite campaign setting, I have multiples, and if you come watch our D&D streams on Saturdays at 3 Central Time, you will get to see some of them, or at least versions of them, let's just say. So, I mean, you've already, you kind of already know, your characters already know all the four different worlds that you've come from, right? All four of those were all campaign settings. Just what I've done is I've recreated them as if sort of a mirror image or an alternate universe version. And so these guys are getting to revisit some of my favorite campaign settings that I've created over the years. And we're wrapping things in a big kind of cosmic way. Very cool. Very cool.
We did not get him to mess up. We tried.
We tried, I know. We
tried. Wait, was he in on it?
I reached out to him. I was like, hey, so we're going to be interviewing Bite Size Mike. And he was the one that was like, please, please. And I was like, okay, we're doing it.
That we is saved so it from, funny.
Like, we saved it for like 18 out of 21 questions, hoping that we could just like
catch me off guard.
Yeah. It's okay.
Oh man, that's too funny.
And that is,
gotta bring in the community.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
I think this is a nice, speaking of cherries on top, I think this is a cherry on top for this incredible interview. It's right about that time where we start to wrap up. Before we go, though, do you have any questions you'd like to ask us, Bite Size Mike, so that we can wrap up the show and thank you again?
I don't think so. It's been a great experience. I've really enjoyed this.
Nice. Yay! Awesome. Fantastic. Well, guys, go ahead, Druid. Take it away.
All right, guys. So you all know that you should have already followed him already, because I've told you guys to do that earlier in the week. So when I told you to follow him again today, you could go, Druid. I did it earlier. You already told me to, so I did it. Okay? But if you did happen to forget, here are his links again. Go support Bite Size Mike. We appreciate him. We love him. We love that what he's trying to do and what he's trying to build. Community is very important to us here at Stormkeep, so we must support other people who are trying to make a community as well, okay? In hopes that we can just be like, here, we're going to absorb and we're going to protect and we're going to have a great time. So I got ADHD. Of course I forgot. Well, here's your reminder. Here's your reminder to do it right now. We're going to take 2 seconds, okay? Go do it now.
I love how Druid moved into like a scary bossy teacher mode there. Like, okay, everybody, we're going to do this now. You're going to make sure you do this. And but she's right.
We already had a talk earlier this week. I was like, go follow him now. So when you can tell me that you did it when we got to this point today.
All right. Wonderful. Bite Size Mike, thanks again for coming on the show. We adore you so much. And hang on the line while we wrap up the show. We'll chat with you just a little bit.
Of course. Again. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're the best.
Ah, what a treat. Wait, sound off? Oh, he's saying sound off. Not that the sound
he wants
off.
To know how many ADHD people are in, or streamers are in chat right now.
Ah, that makes sense. Okay, gotcha.
BT is like, I want to feel included. Like, all of us, every single one of us, BT. That's the answer.
Right. So, Druid, this was one of those amazing success stories that is different than our normal ones. Normally, a lot of the folks we have on, we know from other people in other circles, right? This is the true, your vibe attracts your tribe, because Bite Size Mike found us, and he's just exactly the kind of folk that we like to highlight. Positive, light bringer, wonderful, yeah. Funny. You know, and I'm biased because he's a DM, but that's all right.
We're allowed to be a little bit biased around here, just saying. This is our community and we can do that.
It's been a treat to have him, and I'm so glad that you found him and he found us. Thank you, Druid.
Yes.
Now, for next week, we got another special episode, guys. Next week is our new, the 1 month, one person per month. That's a returning guest from last year. Our special thing that Druid and I, we secretly call it the Dirty Dozen. Just for fun.
It's a secret, guys. Don't tell anyone. Okay.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone. Next week, we're super honored to have our good friend Spud Solutions returning for his second interview. Such an amazing person. Just fantastic. Tater Lord has been a good friend of mine in the channel for a long time. I don't remember how we found each other. It was probably through a raid, but I'm just so glad that we did, because we met the Mighty Mango Mates through him. But even if we hadn't, Spuddy is just the best. So be sure to check us out next Friday. And tonight, we're going to be going and guest starring on another person that we had on Bandwidth and Banter. Sorry, the B word. Sorry, Mike. On Bandwidth and Banter, we had another person on Old Man Garrus. We're going to be guest starring. Druid and I are going to guest star on his show. He's doing an alien TTRPG. It's the second time. It's the last time of this one shot. And come check us out. We'll see if we survive this. You'll go into this, you know, ship with alien stuff. We'll find out.
We'll be fine.
I like her optimism. I love it. All right. Anything else to add, Druid?
I love you guys.
Always. And I think it's ready to wrap this thing up, put a bow on it. Thank you for coming to the show.
Please drop a like, subscribe, and comment down below.
If you're listening to the podcast,
please rate and review the episode.
We are Bandwidth
and Banter.
Thank you.
And good night.